Hello everyone, my name is Ramana Rabbani. Thank you for coming to our session and just being so supportive and giving us the chance to present. So we're going to be talking about achieving health equity within healthcare and population health through community health workers in New England, advanced payment models aligned with the Affordable Care Act. I have no relationships to disclose. I wanted to also begin by thanking the research team that also worked on this, Danny Ritchie, Barbara Ginley, Darrell Fox, and our contributor, Todd Shell Young. This wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't done with the other research team members, and you know, Danny gave us a lot of input about social determinants of health and how to approach it in the community level, which I don't think a lot of people are looking at it that way in research. And Barbara has been an expert in the state innovation model in Maine, so I want to thank him for that. And of course, Darrell is a leader in the CHW work, and he's been great as well. Our agenda will include looking at the definition of CHWs to APHA, population health, or social determinants of health, PPACA and payment models. There is a handout that's been uploaded on the website under the presentations about the payment models, and I'm not sure if any of you have that. If you don't, I can email that to you. The research overview, which includes objectives, qualitative and quantitative methods, and the quantitative methods was done by our contributor, Todd Shell Young. Then we'll be looking at Vermont, which is the model New England state. We looked at all the states in New England, but Vermont was the state that was really far ahead of the curve as far as integrating CHWs. Look at summary of charts, recommendations, limitations, and conclusion. We'll hopefully have time for discussion and questions. I want to make sure that it's acknowledged that this is done through New England Regional Health Equity Council. They've been very supportive of our work. Their vision is a New England region free of disparities, resulting in the promotion of optimal and high-quality health care, as well as health in general. The mission statement is to leverage and increase the effectiveness of the collective actions and resources of partners, community representatives, leaders, and stakeholders that address the social determinants of health, the delivery of health quality care, and the elimination of systematic health disparities in order to achieve health equity for all in the New England region. This presentation aligns with the RHEC-1 mission of addressing health disparities and achieving health equity in New England through research conducted about sustainable payment of CHWs for social determinants of health and healthcare interventions. First, I wanted to give you all the background of community health workers. I'm sure most of you know the definition of community health workers. This is the APHA definition. A frontline public health worker who is a trusted member of and or has an unusually close understanding of the community served. This trusting relationship enables the CHW to serve as a liaison link or intermediary between health, social services, and the community to facilitate access to services and improve the quality and cultural competence of service delivered. A CHW also builds individual and community capacity by increasing health knowledge and self-sufficiency through a range of activities such as outreach, community education, informal counseling, and social support and advocacy. And there are many other roles that community health workers play in the community level and social determinants of health, which also should be greatly emphasized. First, I'll be talking about population health management, looking at the framework of population health. It provides a strategic platform to improve the health outcomes of a defined group of people, concentrating on three correlated stages: the distribution of specific health statuses and outcomes within a population, factors that cause a present outcomes distribution, and interventions that may modify the factors to improve health outcomes. So the third bullet is really where CHWs play a big important role in population health. Their interventions have a great amount of health outcomes within the community. This is the population health framework. Basically, this shows a good quote about this is the health outcomes of a group of individuals, which includes the distribution of such outcomes within the group. The different framework shows the field of population health includes health outcomes, patterns of health determinants, and policies and interventions that link these two. The overall goal of a population health approach is to maintain and improve the health of the entire population and to reduce inequities in health between population groups. again, CHWs play a key role because they are there for the vulnerable populations in order to have less health disparities and attain health equity. This next slide, this is actually Danny's slide from Allegheny County, and it's a great slide because it really shows you what social determinants is really about. And you can see number three is healthcare. Medical services is a small part of the social determinants of health area, and many people don't see that, and that has to be understood, that the basic needs of a population need to be addressed. I'd also like to let all of you know that there's a table, and Molly was passing some out, but I'm not sure if there's enough. It shows a table of CHW interventions, and it's in the back table. It's been uploaded as a handout, but if you'd like it, you can get one from the back table, or I could also email it to you. This basically shows the interventions of CHWs. It shows return on investment in a Boston study. They interviewed in health. The intervention was health exchanges for poor Latinos. More were enrolled in the Seattle, King County home environmental assessment was done by CHWs to rural low-income children. There was $1,124 saved per child per year, which is significant. Utilization and quality of life also were positive outcomes. Hawaii studies show an intervention for ER visits where asthma patients were served and there was 78% lower costs. So this has a good list. I also have another table showing interventions and social determinants of health, and I can also email you that as well. So this is the equity pyramid, which Danny did touch on. This is a five-tier pyramid, which best describes the impact of different types of public health intervention and provides a framework to improve health. At the base of this pyramid, it indicates interventions with the greatest potential and impact and efforts to address socioeconomic determinants of health. In ascending order, interventions that change the context can make, one, individuals' default decisions healthy, two, clinical interventions that require limited contact but confer long-term protection, and three, ongoing direct clinical care, and four, health education and counseling. Interventions focusing on the lower levels of the pyramid tend to be more effective because they reach broader segments of society and require less individual effort. Implementing interventions at each of the levels can achieve the maximum possible sustained public health benefit. Next, I want to talk shift. This is a general information of population health and social determinants of health. Next, we'll shift to PPACA and recognition of CHWs. The PPACA goal includes access to affordable health insurance, which reduces health disparities, especially for vulnerable populations, increases public health preparedness, expands the healthcare workforce, improves the quality of healthcare delivery, and lowers healthcare expenditures. PPACA recognizes and encourages the profession of CHWs. Section 5101 of the PPACA includes CHWs in the definition for primary care professionals. CHW work results in many benefits to patients, payers, providers, and the healthcare system. So patients receive greater accessibility and quality of healthcare. Payer and providers receive greater share of savings, which includes improved patient care and reduced healthcare costs, higher probability of better outcome measurements, and overall savings are achieved for the healthcare system. Next, I want to focus on the triple aim background. So the triple aim background is stated in the goal of the PPACA, which is to better health by eliminating health disparities, improved healthcare quality and experience, and cost containment in healthcare. So, and including better population health. So again, CHWs are they embody the triple aim. You wouldn't be able to, they're very, very important to accomplish the goals of the PPACA and accomplish the triple aim. I'll give a little bit of a SIM background. It's also known as the State Innovation Model. Federal initiative was launched in 2013 to transform payment and healthcare delivery systems. Approximately $300 million were granted to 26 states to test or design models that could achieve the triple aim goals. SIM projects are state-led and must have engagement of multiple payers and other partners with healthcare systems to drive innovation in their respective state. Three types of award are pre-testing, model testing, and model design. It's a population health requirement to improve health of all and involve state health state health departments. There are opportunities for CHW under Maine's state innovation model, as well as other state innovation models. In Maine's SIM-CHW initiative, it is to demonstrate the value of integrating CHWs into a variety of healthcare teams or settings, implement and test care models that can be replicated and emulated across the state, and expand on the core group of experienced CHWs in Maine who can provide leadership and help promote community engagement. Barbara Ginley is in the audience somewhere. There she is. If you have questions about state innovation model in Maine, please refer to her. She's the expert in the area. The objectives of her research were to gain insight into payment systems that exist in New England, receive feedback from payers regarding the incorporation of CHW rules in healthcare. I'm sorry. Receive feedback from peers regarding the incorporation of CHW rules in healthcare reform models for totality of health, which includes social determinants of health and healthcare. Sorry. Assess care perception of most effective payment models for CHWs in New England and gain insight of outcome measurements, reference of other model states, and challenges that payers face for CHW payment. So in our research, there was quantitative and qualitative methods. Our qualitative methods started with secondary research, which included a literature review and environmental scan. It looked at positive outcomes for healthcare and social determinants of health. Preferred role of CHW, thank you. Preferred roles of CHWs and social determinants of health, CHW roles and alignment with PPACA and SIM, sustainable payment methods recommended through PPACA and SIM. The primary research, we had key informants interviews. They were qualitative, open-ended, and micro scales were used for the New England payers and CHW surveys. We interviewed 15 payers. They were conducted in person or via phone, and lasted between 30 minutes and an hour and a half. There were 30 CHW surveys that CHWs responded to, so we had a total of 30 CHWs who responded. There were 11 questions for public and private payers and 7 questions for the CHW survey. So we want to let you know that something important to recognize, I think, is bringing CHWs to the table. So we did make an effort to make sure that we also heard their voice. The next thing we looked at was quantitative methods, and this was used to extract the tables and bar charts that you'll see for a summary of results. Todd Shell Young was amazing. She did a lot of work on this. Basically, she transcribed the interviews, and then she used Microsoft Excel, looked at the Likert scale. A frequency analysis was conducted, and she came up with mean score comparisons. These are the coding themes leading to our results. So we used Atlas TI software. First, the interviews were transcribed, and then we started looking at coding themes. And from those themes, we consolidated the codes, and from the codes, we came up with quote extractions. The biggest one that came up over and over again is positive outcome. There was 160 positive outcomes with CHW work. Under those are included social determinants of health, collaboration in health and all policies, integrated team-based care, return on investment, and preventive care. The next biggest category or theme was challenges of incorporating CHWs at 107. The most challenging aspect was training and credentialing of CHWs, and also how to integrate them into team-based entities. And when I'm talking about team-based entities, I'm talking about patient-centered medical homes and accountable care organizations. The next challenging issue is funding methods. It was non-volume based payment, which is basically fee-for-service reimbursement, and per member per month payment, also known as enhanced fee-for-service. We also had themes for government support, outcome measures, and other state models. This is from the CHW survey that we had, and we asked CHWs, one of the questions in the Likert scale was, what is your most preferred payment model? And as you can see from this, CHWs want to get paid for their work, which they should because they do amazing work. But Their preference of advanced payment reimbursement temporary funding is very much the same, which tells us that they need to be at the table about payment, because the most effective payment for CHWs is alternative payment or payment models. And those payment models, sorry, I'm going to skip ahead. So if you look at this payment model slide, it shows that provider has more financial risk with capitation payment, less with fee-for-service. And this basically tells us that CHWs would allow providers to get greater outcome measurements if they're involved, and they would be implemented through capitation payment, which includes global payment, value-based payment, and bundled payment. So I think I'm running short on time. I'm just going to talk about Vermont very quickly and try to get through the other slides. So community health teams in Vermont include insurance applications, filing treatment plans, managing stress, and working towards personal wellness or disease management. They accompany patients to appointments and transportation and childcare. A public peer stated, "We recognize that our current healthcare system was not accurately addressing healthcare needs of patients or Vermonters within the context of what we could provide. There was a discontinuous service for patients that was really evident, which you see in other states. The idea of coordination of healthcare and non-healthcare services that impact health, population health in a nutshell is kind of the curve or where we started and will continue to evolve." So just to let you know, Vermont started their initiative of incorporating CHWs back in 2008. And their problem, when they were asked what is your challenge, they said, "We had a challenge back in 2008 from going from fee-for-service to capitation payment model." And they have moved, you know, a lot of our New England states are still trying to figure that out, and Vermont has been doing it since 2008. They're using a multi-payer advanced primary care practice demonstration pilot. There's public and private payers at the table talking about how to move forward with payment. Or they've already done that, but they're sitting in the table in agreement. The key informant stated, "Fee-for-service is going to go away. I think that's a path people are wasting their time going down. I think there's some kind of a global payment or value-based payment that makes a lot more sense in this new way of looking at payment for healthcare in general." Another one stated, "Fee-for-service is going to go away. I think that's the path we're wasting their time going down." Another one said, "There's numerous all kinds of studies that are showing their cost effectiveness. We can give anecdotal data about just the kind of work that our community health workers do. There's plenty of evidence out there." So you'll hear a lot of payers say there's not enough evidence, there's not enough ROI. But this shows we do have evidence out there, and what we need to do is talk in the language of the payers. The recommendations given to look at other model states include Texas, Massachusetts, Maine, Minnesota. Also, the key informants don't endorse fee-for-service. South Carolina, Oregon, Virginia, Texas, and Ohio. The outcome measures your total cost of care, improvement in outcomes, engagement, standard triple aim approach to measure ROI, investment of consumer health provider systems, value-based payment scorecard, hospitalization readmission rates, health equity gaps, CHW interactions and outreach efforts, quality indicators based on claims for total expenditures, preventive tests such as mammograms, screenings, and colonoscopies. This was basically outcome measures that were, we asked the key informants what outcome measures they would recommend. This is what was given. I'm going to go really fast because I'm really sorry, I'm running out of time. This is a summary of results for social determinants of health payment. And everyone was in agreement that CHWs are very influential with social determinants of health. We had one state that really didn't know much about it, but as you can see, most of them were agreement to use capitation payment, value-based, bundled, and global, but they weren't sure how to go about it. This shows for healthcare interventions, so just about everyone highly agreed that value-based, bundled, and global was the best approach. There was a lot of agreement for fee-for-service, and that's because we're still in the landscape of using fee-for-service, and we're trying to figure out how to move away from that. Some of the states in New England are doing that, and there are other states that are really not sure about capitation payment, how to involve CHWs. Our limitations include Massachusetts and New Hampshire. We didn't have many key informants, so we used a lot of secondary research. We would like to go back and explore Massachusetts again. We should have a question about policy perspective on the approach of incorporating CHWs. And we have limited applicable information about Likert scale preference for payment models from Maine and New Hampshire. We also need to talk to providers about how to integrate CHWs. In conclusion, overall public and private peers support the idea of sustainable alternative payment models and include CHWs, but there is not unanimity in how we get there. And I just quickly, can I acknowledge? Okay. I wanted to acknowledge our research team, Deanna Ritchie, Barbara Ginley, and Darrell Fox. Special thanks to Chris. Chris was from a different session, sorry. I want to thank Molly and the CHW section.
Exactly.
Special thanks to presenting contributor Todd Shelley Young for the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, and Laura Uchik from Brown University. We also want to thank our advisors, Dr. Reese Swaggy, Mr. Ralph Vicello, Dr. Wayne Rollins, Mark McKinney from New England Regional Health Equity Council, and Meredith Ferraro. Also want to thank Yale School of Public Health. This is where it all started in Connecticut. Debbie Humphreys, and special thanks to Office of Minority Health for providing resources in order to make this research possible. And we're really grateful to our team performance. Thank you.